From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Governor J.B. Pritzker last week finally announced that he would seek re-election. He's been talking about his goals and using his response to the pandemic to appeal to voters. For our weekly reporter roundtable, we're digging into Pritzker's bid, talking about his challengers, and about how well his message is going over with voters, especially downstate. Plus, Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger from Illinois has been appointed to a select committee by Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to investigate the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. To talk about these stories and more, we're joined by three ace political journalists. Rachel Hinton is chief political reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Rachel, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Rick Pearson is chief political reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Rick, good to talk with you again as well.
Always good to be with you, Brian.
And Brendan Moore covers state government for Lee Enterprises, which has newspapers across Illinois, including the Herald and Review, Itches in Decatur, the Pantograph in Bloomington Normal, and the Quad City Times. And, well, okay, that one's in the name. Brendan, welcome back to the 21st.
Glad to be back, Brian.
And listeners, we've already heard from some of you through our text messaging group. We'll integrate some of those responses into our conversation. But if you want to join us live, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Rick, I'm going to begin with you. Governor Pritzker launched his first television ads last week for his reelection campaign. Based on those ads, what is his message? What is he running on here?
It's very obvious that I think the governor believes that this is going to be a race. It's also a referendum on his handling of the pandemic, and that he's trying to get out in front of attacks from Republican opponents by pointing out, as he repeatedly did throughout innumerable press conferences through the pandemic, that he's guided by science, that his commercials are focused on basically first responders who were with the National Guard, a nursing aide who volunteered to do testing and vaccinations, as well as a small business that was a distillery that switched from bourbon to hand sanitizer. And basically just saying this is all one state and we're all one people, and that he did his best to try to keep everybody safe.
So all one state, all one people. Brendan, I wonder if there, you know, what is his message? How is it being received downstate, right? I'm sure you have seen, as I have driving around, a fair number of, pardon my language, but Pritzker sucks yard signs for a long time now throughout the pandemic. Do you get a sense the governor is tailoring a message for the downstate audience, and how are people reacting to it?
Well, you're right, Brian. You go a little bit out of any of the towns down in downstate Illinois, you'll see some Fire Pritzker and Pritzker Sucks signs. The governor is not very popular in a lot of the more rural regions of the state, more conservative regions of the state. And obviously, we saw with some of his ads that started running this past week that he is featuring people that are from downstate. I believe there is one from Belleville, one person from Springfield. So as Rick said, he's trying to tailor a message of, you know, we are one state, even if there is kind of this divide between the Chicago area and the downstate region. Obviously, the governor doesn't necessarily need to do super well downstate to win. If he has a strong performance in Cook County and the collar counties that surround Chicago, that is his base now. But I think you will see that he is going to try to do as well as he can downstate. It's what helped carry him in the primary election 4 years ago against his Democratic opponents. He did really well in the counties south of Chicago. And he obviously has the resources to get that message out. So I don't think it hurts him to do that. And then obviously there are metro areas outside of Chicago, such as Springfield, Champaign, Urbana, probably would receive his message better than maybe some of the more conservative counties. So I believe he believes that his message is resonates more than maybe what the conventional wisdom is. I think everybody thinks that some of the critics of him are just a loud minority. But I think we're going to see him continue to try to appeal to downstate voters, especially again with his unlimited resources that where he can get his message out.
Rachel Hinton, you have written about the governor's finances, and Brendan just mentioned his resources there. I mean, Governor Pritzker is a multi-billionaire. The last time he ran, he was up against at least a multi-hundred millionaire, if not another billionaire. Can you talk about the finances of this race as we're still at this early point?
Yeah, so when he was running for election, Pritzker spent $171 million, you know, the first time around. We've seen him drop $35 million into his campaign fund, which he, you know, at the time in March said that was, he tried to cast that as protecting the Democratic message from Republican attacks. When I spoke to him and when other reporters spoke to him last week after he announced, he, you know, wouldn't give specifics about how much money, you know, we could see dropped into this race. I believe he is the wealthiest candidate so far. The Republicans who've lined up against him, I believe one or two maybe have their own money, thinking of, you know, suburban businessman Gary Rabin. But they're not going to be able to match him. He's just already out with, you know, ads that are going to appear on cable and on broadcast. You know, spokespeople for the campaign won't talk about the specifics of the finances for those. So I think we're going to see a race that we'll see a lot of ads, both digital, on TV, maybe his own signs. But, you know, the specifics of how much money he's going to spend, how much of his own money he's going to spend, we don't necessarily know yet. I would assume that's going to be a lot, if not, yeah, you know, as much as 171 million, maybe a bit more, depending on, you know, Republicans who still might enter this race and if they can get wealthy benefactors behind them as well.
Yeah, and that's a big question. We're still waiting to find out if there are going to be any of those wealthy Republicans that have occasionally tried to make forays into Illinois politics and successfully did so in the case of Bruce Rauner in the past. Let me just take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're doing our Monday Reporters Roundtable talking about state politics, beginning with Governor Pritzker's reelection announcement. You just heard there Rachel Hinton, chief political reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. We're also speaking with Rick Pearson, chief political reporter at the Chicago Tribune, and Brendan Moore, who covers state government for Lee Enterprises, which has newspapers in a number of downstate cities. Rick, let's talk about the governor's opponents, the GOP field that's challenging him. So far, not a lot of, no offense to the people who are running, but not a lot of, none of the wealthy people who have been talked about, sort of whispered about, behind the scenes for a number of years so far, right?
Well, I think basically we are kind of in a wait and see period here. I mean, Gary Rabin has money, but, he's got an interesting story to tell, but nobody knows who he is. And he'll quite frankly need to spend money to tell people who he is. You've got State Senator Darren Bailey from Xenia, from downstate. People know him largely from his antics involving Pritzker's efforts to deal with the pandemic and his efforts to fight those in court, as well as the fact that he was thrown out of off the House floor one day for not wearing a mask. And then you've got Paul Schimpf, who was a former state senator from Waterloo, who ran as a little known candidate for attorney general for the Republican nomination in the past. What you have with all three of these are basically people who were adamantly opposed to the way Pritzker handled the pandemic, particularly the shutdowns of businesses, the effects on small business. But you're not really seeing much from these candidates at all. People are still looking at and none of them can match $3.5 billion that Pritzker has. That's just an unbelievable sum of money that he's worth. So you've got people kind of waiting to see Ken Griffith, for example, the wealthiest businessman in Chicago, in Illinois. He's the one that basically pumped tens of millions of dollars into the opposition of Pritzker's efforts to switch the state from a flat rate income tax to a graduated rate tax. People are seeing if Griffin weighs in, not necessarily as a candidate, but if he finds a candidate. You also have people like Rodney Davis, the congressman, looking at a race for governor, kind of trying to keep his options open while we still don't know the fate of a what a congressional map is that loses one seat in the next election.
We did, I mentioned earlier, we asked our texting group about this, text the 21st, about the sort of job that Pritzker has done so far and if they would support his reelection or any of his Republican opponents. We heard from Steve, who said it would be nice at some point if people would stop taxing more and rein in spending, including pensions. I can't pick up my farm ground and move it out of state. Sal wrote in to say, I think Pritzker's done a good job, especially in his response to the COVID crisis. He actually listened to the scientists as opposed to so many others in our nation. I plan to vote for him. And Randy said, Pritzker has done an okay job. He can help himself by giving a tiny bit of support to the very few Dems left farming here in the far and away and remote places. We give our children to defend the nation, and we are liberal, LGBTQ, and we give, and we are environmental, but never get any attention. Brendan, what about that? Do you talk to people downstate who feel neglected by the governor as he's seeking reelection?
I would say yes. There are certainly people that feel the governor has not given them enough attention. Obviously, he lives in Chicago. He spends a lot of time in Chicago. Over the past year, a lot of that was out of necessity because of the pandemic. There just wasn't a lot of travel going on. But obviously, the governor has accumulated a fairly liberal voting record, and he has obviously catered a lot to his liberal voting base in Chicago and to an extent into the Chicago suburbs, and maybe not as much to some of the more culturally conservative areas downstate, maybe some of the ancestral Democratic areas of, you know, folks that were big labor Democrats downstate that maybe don't feel like they fit in or get as much attention in the modern party as they once did. However, I believe the governor, as I said earlier, has the resources to reach out and message to a lot of the voters that you mentioned, and so I believe that he will certainly try to do that. I know that Andy Menar, the former state senator, who's now deputy governor in the Pritzker administration, told me a few years ago when Governor Pritzker was campaigning that he had not seen a Democrat campaign as much downstate as Pritzker did ever since Glenn Pichard, since Glenn Pichard ran for governor back in
late 90s.
So he will have the time, obviously, to campaign, and he will have time to reconnect with those voters.
All right, Rachel Hinton, before we take a break, you mentioned you had a one-on-one with Pritzker recently. What, beyond the pandemic, what issues is he focused on as he is asking voters to send him back to the governor's mansion for another 4 years?
He really focused on raising the minimum wage and making that a centerpiece of his reelection campaign, basically focusing on the things that happened before the pandemic, basically reminding people of the other, you know, significant wins that his administration has had, and also other things going forward that will benefit the state, such as, you know, allowing people to go to community college for free or at a significantly reduced charge, as well as making sure childcare is available to families. It seems, or at least I got the sense in my one-on-one with him, that he was kind of piggybacking off of President Joe Biden's, American Families Plan, and focusing on the quote unquote social infrastructure pieces that, you know, he has been able to do so far in his term, and also what's next. So building on those things, community college, childcare for families, both before and during the pandemic, and looking ahead at, you know, building on those things as well.